Are you ready?
We'll go ahead and call to order for the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on September 22nd. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. And not seeing anybody moving toward the mic. Consideration of minutes for the school election canvass on September 11th and the minutes from the board meeting of 9:15.
Move approval for both as listed.
I'll second that. Is there any corrections or additions? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. And this has been approved. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval.
Second. Any changes or additions?
No.
Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. The personnel actions have been approved. Consideration of claims.
I will also move approval of claims as submitted.
And I'll second it. Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. The claims have been approved. Consent agenda. We need to add road closures 1633 and 34 and utility permit 1626.
Move approval with noted changes.
Second. Is there anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. Consent agenda has been approved. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of counteroffer from Alliant Energy for buyout of the existing contract with Alliant Energy for standby generation and geothermal at the Story County Justice Center. John Eichel, Facilities Management, and Annette Renault with Alliant Energy.
Okay, Annette, you just had to come back, huh?
You did.
I just figured you probably could handle all that and you wouldn't want to come back and see us.
No, that's not the case.
I see.
Okay, so the counter proposal was for us to look at maintenance on the housing unit for the generator, including replacement of the doors and some seals and such. We did check with Altorfer, and we did talk about this internally. And what we decided to do was we decided to discount our offer of $5,000, which will help offset those costs. And checking with Altorfer, that would be, I think there's about $3,700 for the doors, and then there's some other costs there. We did talk to, I guess our philosophy is that, you know, Altorfer provided monthly maintenance. It was never brought to our attention that this issue would in any way impact the integrity of the generators. But in the interest of moving this forward, we're going to go ahead and cost share this. So we're proposing $5,000 to offset that. We would prefer that you do the work and then contract with Altorfer rather than us having to get into an arrangement. And then there's a questions on whether or not it was performed correctly or anything. That would just be something where you would then, you can use Altorfer, you can use any vendor you want. We'll just simply discount the price.
Okay.
Well, this Al is the gentleman that, you know, had looked at it and given a generally a cost estimate as to what he thought would take, in other words. Okay. And have we had any, of course, I don't know if you know this, but have we had any other work done by him in the past, as he's not the same one and generally does inspections on this work originally, is that correct?
Well, Altorfer is a company that does it.
Oh, I got you. So, all right.
And it's
you.
The same one that we contracted with to do all the maintenance. So,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
I think the cost came in, I'm going to guess around, I'm going to say around $10,000. So we decided what we do is cost share in that.
Right. Okay.
Johnny, any concerns from facilities?
Nope.
Okay.
What we had was $3,800 for three new doors. And we're going to have them come in because we got a hose out and check where it was leaking in. And
okay.
There's some work that needs to be done.
Nothing substantial, though.
No.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate the fact that you came back after we discussed this last week. And I think the only thing that's could possibly hold this up would be from the DNR, which we still need to wait to hear from the DNR.
And what I have to do, I have to make a, you know, there's this question of what the savings would be. So what we did was we looked at what the buyout rate was, and we used the January buyout amount, and we deducted $25,000, which is how we came up with our price. Because then we figured, you know, if we could get this done by January, we'd incent it. And then we just decided that was the price to try to incent it to actually get off the books in 2016. So any savings that you realize, because there's a discussion of the $41,000 or whatever that is, it really depends on how soon you buy these out, because you're still subject to payments that are due each month. So the September payment was billed on September 1, is actually due September 22nd. So, you know, if it's done right away, then you have more savings. But the amount is what the amount is.
Right.
The savings, you realize, savings really depends on how soon you execute this.
Okay.
So, because the payment is due. Because I mean, September is pretty much gone, and so it is due and payable.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I guess from the attorney's office and so forth, in discussions, Jessica, or you didn't have any particular issues based on where we are at this point?
No.
Okay. Well, with that, Mr. Chair, I would move that we enter into approval of the counteroffer from Alliant Energy for the buyout of the existing contract with Alliant Energy for the standby generation and geothermal at the Story County Justice Center.
And I would just add that
according to the terms as proposed, which,
okay,
was the,
yep,
which was the $5,000 credit as it applies.
Right. For a total buyout price of $281,171.
Correct. Thanks for the addition.
Yep. And I will second that motion. Is there anything further?
No. Clint? Again, just thank you and so forth, and for your work and also Alliant Energy and working with us through this process. So
only taking about a year, right?
Yeah.
That's not bad. Clinton?
Aye.
Two? Aye. That's been approved.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Next, agency reports. Emergency management, Keith Morgan.
Morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Well, this has been a heavy response quarter after a couple of somewhat light quarters. Starting off in July, we had an activation due to flash flooding on the eastern part of the county. Then on July 16th, we had a rather surprising tornado warning where it was clear blue up in Story City. They did activate the sirens in Ames. A bit of a unique situation on there. We did activate our storm spotters, got them out there so that we could get situational awareness on what was going on, which helped me, and it also helped out the National Weather Service when it came to comparing to what they were seeing on the radars with what people were seeing and reporting into the dispatch folks. On August 4th, emergency management received a call from the city of Kelly with a unique problem. They had a building that had partially collapsed and was in the process of being demolished and cleared. A relative of the former owners of the building notified Kelly that there was possibly dynamite that may have been left in the building after it was abandoned. Emergency management worked with Iowa Homeland Security and the State Fire Marshal's office to get a bomb-sniffing dog there to assist in the assessment of the site. And inputs from the fire marshal personnel allowed city officials and those involved with the demolition and disposal of the debris to determine that the risk of explosives on site was low enough for activities to continue normally. On August 9th, the coordinator was activated in response to flash flood warnings generated from a large amount of rain throughout the county. I worked with both with Story City Police Department, Ames Dispatch, also Ames Waterworks, and also Cambridge Public Works to assess the threat and to ensure the public was aware of the situation. Early on the morning of August 23rd, the deputy coordinator responded to another Stover fire, this one near Maxwell. She provided information to the fire department on recommended strategies for containment of the fire and assisted with contact of DuPont personnel. It's suspected that this fire was caused by lightning, which is the third time that they suspect that these fires have been started by lightning. And in discussions with DuPont, they are starting to look at that and try and determine why these sites seem to be more vulnerable to fire. On the afternoon of August 28th, there was, again, heavy rains in the Squaw Creek and Skunk River basins. Our office monitored the potential impacts of these rains through observation of the network of flood gauges and discussions with the National Weather Service and, again, Ames Water and field observations. A large part of the EMA's effort was devoted to using social media to keep the public informed of the situation and the potential risk to individuals and businesses. One area for improvement in our information operations is to develop a map with road closure information that is available to the public, and it was requested by the public during the event, and there have been discussions with our GIS folks on how we might make that happen better and quicker. An important takeaway from these floods is that during the last event, we connected with, we had over 9,000 connections with people through Facebook. Through the efforts of Leanne Harder, who was up throughout the night tweeting our posts, we were also able to push the information out to a substantially larger audience. I suggest that Story County continue to enhance its ability to conduct real-time engagement with the citizens through social media. But it's got to be recognized that this will require a dedication of personnel and IT resources to meet the needs and expectations of the public. On the planning side, emergency management continues its efforts to bring together a committee to evaluate current capabilities of the emergency medical response system to determine if it's adequate for current and future needs, and to look at the possibility of making it more efficient. It has been difficult to make contact with key players that should be on the committee and to get their support for this effort. Although this is not a direct responsibility of Emergency Management Commission, the makeup of the commission makes it the best agency to host this committee and to provide major decision makers information on current status of the system. The Marshalltown Fire Chief has initiated an effort to evaluate the needs for special or technical operations within an 8-county region. Some of the samples of these operations include trench rescue, confined space, swift water, or high-angle operations. Growing and maintaining these capabilities will entail significant training and resources. Current planning efforts are focused on determining what capabilities might be needed, what current capabilities are out there, and to try and identify structures that other regional groups are using to meet this need. As Story County grows and develops businesses with more complex operations, these capabilities may become more important. One avenue the group is looking to explore is to work with businesses to incorporate their capabilities and equipment into our overall response. On the preparedness side, our office, in conjunction with Renew Energy Maintenance, sponsored a rescue exercise for wind turbines. The exercise involved over 50 volunteer firefighters, EMS personnel, and the Mercy One helicopter. Renewed Energy provided the first responders valuable information on the unique safety and medical aspects of these operations. Renew Energy should also be recognized for initiating the effort for this exercise, and it demonstrates the value of the whole community coming together to be better prepared for emergencies. Additionally, this is an example of where the special technical operations that I just mentioned may be valuable. On the training side, on August 17th, the coordinator conducted training with Story City, with the Story City Administrator, City Council, and department heads to increase their knowledge of emergency and disaster authorities and responsibilities. Bringing them together in one place and discussing issues such as notification procedures, line of authorities, was very valuable. Additionally, there was discussion on the possible ordinances that could be adopted prior to a disaster, which could be essential to have in place prior to an event. I have provided a list of these ordinances and encourage the board to review them to see if similar ones would be appropriate for Story County. At the end of August, the coordinator and Matt Boyk from Story County GIS attended training on GIS for emergency management at the Emergency Management Institute in Maryland. The integration of GIS into all aspects of emergency management is growing, and it is very useful to have attended the class with Matt right beside me. He could translate a lot of this technical stuff into terms that even I could understand. GIS is important for floodplain management, damage assessment, developing situational awareness for decision makers and the public during an event. The mapping of closed roads is but one example of a potential use for GIS. To make the system dynamic and integrated, you and your personnel in the field may require some resources and training, and I hope the board will support future efforts of emergency management and GIS to make this happen. On September 3rd, the deputy coordinator and coordinator attended FEMA's rapid needs assessment in Ottumwa. The training was beneficial as it provided information and basic tools for local governments, such as the county, to develop processes to accurately determine the immediate needs in order to provide a response that is designed to save lives and support life-sustaining actions. Through September, our office conducted Emergency Operations Center training. The focus on this training was to ensure all personnel have a unique registration within the Story County, Iowa Alert System, and also to receive a refresher on the use of WebEOC. We're going to take those unique registrations and build them into our notification process so that we can rapidly, through multiple ways, get hold of our EOC folk and bring them on in. I think it's one big advantage we have to having adopted the Iowa Alert System. I'd like to thank the elected officials and the department heads for allowing their personnel to attend the training. Additionally, I'd like to work with the board to get a unique registration for each of you so that I can use that Story County, Iowa alerts and notify you if we have a large-scale event or something that impacts you. Looking ahead, our office continues to revise the plans. Right now, we're looking at the law enforcement section of our response plan, and we hope to bring together the representatives from all of our agencies to review our current guidance and capabilities to see if there are ways that we can improve it. Melissa is continuing her effort to developing staging areas and traffic flow plans to support a response within Ames. Additionally, we are looking to continue our efforts on the emergency medical response study and active shooter plans. Believe it or not, even with this nice weather, we are moving towards winter, so again, we're going to revise our I-35 closure plan and practice it like we do every year. And finally, tomorrow or on Thursday, Iowa DOT is hosting what's called a traffic incident management training at County Conservation. This brings together the first responders and gives them a better idea on how to work together better out there where there are at times conflicting desires and goals of each of the different departments so that they can be better, safer, and more efficient when it comes to a traffic incident. With that, I'd like to open it up to any questions you might have.
Earlier I had gone back when you were kind of talking about situational events and things of this nature, and from some of the trainings that you had down either in with some of the smaller communities, did you identify still a couple of areas that really needed to be focused on primarily, and if so, how receptive was the individuals in each of those communities to working with you and addressing that?
Story City was really well received. Some of the stuff that we did was, again, that line of succession. And just a simple question I posed to them, if there's a disaster, what do you, the city council, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to come to the site? Are you supposed to stay where you're at and wait for notification? And, of course, I got two different responses from each side of the table. So bringing them together and having them talk through how are they going to do that, how are they going to come together, to further clarify when you have multiple layers of administration, where you have a city administrator and a mayor and your first responders, how's that going to work out? Who is the person that is going to provide the initial direction? So the key is to get everybody together in the same room and to walk through different situations.
The other question comes back to, in the past, emergency notifications, usually the board chair was the first point of contact, and then they, after assessing the information from either you or law enforcement, would contact either one of the other two supervisors if it was necessary, if it, like it happened early morning. Sometimes it would wait till 6 o'clock in the morning, we would get the notification if it wasn't that critical. Under the scenario that you mentioned here of notification, is that still adequate from your perspective, or do you feel that it all three of us should be notified? And my question would be, is let's say that we know the chair is going to be out of state for whatever reason, then we need to probably notify you who the vice chair is or who else should be your first point of contact. And I don't know if we do that. Maybe we assume that you know that. But should that become part of our standard protocol? Just talk me through what your thought process might be in that regard.
That would be good to have that notification so I know where to start from. And again, I think discussions amongst the three of you as to how you want that to happen, when you want me to wake you up at 2 a.m. in the morning, is very valuable for me. Most of the time, unless I see that it is something that I'm going to require resources from the Board of Supervisors, a high media event would be the other time that I would talk, primarily try and notify a member of the board. And also, is it in your jurisdiction?
Right.
As a part of it. But further clarification, both internally and for me, that would be very, very good. And take it beyond just the Board of Supervisors. I always think worst case situation, if you would all three be in the same place and something happened, what's keep giving me different layers to keep on going down to and who I need to talk to, who's going to be in charge, who's going to provide direction.
For me, I think it would be just as easy to notify all three of us at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got those capabilities today anyway, so that way somebody doesn't have to worry about whether or not you're updated with, you know, if the chair's out of town or not, or who's, you know, who do you call first. If you notify all three of us at the same time, and then it's up to us to make sure that we, you know, somebody gets back to you. And then we can work with the county attorney's office to see who, you know, in the event that all three, like you said, all three of us are in the same place, and something happens, and, you know, who's next?
Or that I can't, just communications-wise, unable to get a hold of you. You are receiving, we did have a bit of a glitch with our weather notification emails. Have you been receiving those?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and that's, we've got a technical workaround on that one. Usually that is the way that you will get it. And I feel emails for those kind of activities are good, because when you wake up in the morning, most of you, it's going to your cell phone. You can be prepared for any questions that you might receive. The ones in talking to Chairman Sanders about this is, I will contact you if I expect that as you're walking out the door, there may be the media there that may want to talk to you about it. And that's usually my criteria as to for notification. If you have something different, I definitely need to know about it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, again, Keith, thank you again for your proactive thought process. You know, we never want to be in a situation to respond to a disaster, but if we don't have carefully laid out plans and a protocol as to how we're going to operate, and as you say, the incident command and who's going to, what is the chain of command and how things are going to go, it could be certainly more devastating than what normally would happen. So I think, again, the job you're doing in trying to make us all prepared for the safety and well-being of citizens of Story County is very much appreciated. So we want to thank you for that.
And I'd like to add that as a part of the ongoing continuity of operations, continuity of government planning that is going on here, the questions that you just asked are a part of that. And that's your layer is also going to have to look at those sorts of things and come up with, you know, again, critical information and critical functions. And Leanne has done a good job of getting us started down that road.
Right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No departmental reports or other reports. Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not seeing anybody moving towards the microphone. Liaison assignments and committee meetings. Wayne.
No liaison assignments. I just would report that last Thursday, Friday, particularly I was in Council Bluffs for the Iowa Association of Counties board retreat. Excellent meeting. We had an opportunity to spend some time looking at Council Bluffs and seeing some of the things that they did, touring the Squirrel Cage Jail and some of the historical sites. And all in all, it was a an excellent meeting as we move forward. One of the things that came out of that meeting was it was in 2009 was the last time that as an association of counties, we actually had a strategic long-term plan that we at the board went through, and I suggested that we maybe reconsider that, even though my term may be up at the end of this year. I don't know whether I'll stay on next year or not, but they all agreed that that's, again, something that we should look at. And, you know, we've been able to see the benefit here as a board working with our elected officials, department heads, and staff, the advantages of strategic planning. Because you have to look more than just that 1 year or 2 years down the road when you know there could be potential capital outlays that are large in expenses. So that was a pretty good deal. And the others, I'll just wait for the announcement for it. I do have a, for an announcement to mention. So.
Go ahead. I'll pass on these.
Okay. The announcement is this Thursday, I have accepted the offer from DHS to serve on the Children's Mental Health and Well-Being Work Group. This is a work group that has spent 3 years coming up with a plan how to move the children's mental health system forward. Many of the new members is kind of different members than the original group because they decided that they needed to step back and allow someone else to take the charge. And so our first meeting will be at the Capitol from 10 to 3 this coming Thursday. And for me, it's going to require now that I shift a few other meeting assignments because originally when I was called, I was led to believe we would meet late afternoon from 2 to 3. I only had to find out that the scope of this has changed a little bit. But in talking to members of our region, we see the potential and the role that the regions will play, particularly for kids as they transition from the children's system into the adult system, what role the regions will play. And with my role on the Regional Governance Board, I'm excited about working in this group, and we only have 5 meetings scheduled. And we have to give a report to the governor and the legislature by early December of this year. So it's not something that's going to continue beyond these first 5 meetings, but they should be somewhat labor-intensive. But I'm looking forward to working collaboratively to see what we can do to move this children's mental health concept forward. As you know, State Representative Lisa Heddens has been actively involved in years past. She's no longer serving on this committee, and Jason Hegland from YSS was also part of that group, and I've had a chance to meet with both of them and to share some of their views and concepts. So hopefully, with the people that we have here in Story County, I will be in a position that I could have some good resources to talk to about programs, services, things that we should bring to the table for our consideration as we try to move the children's mental health system forward. So don't know sometimes whether or not it's a good thing to always volunteer to serve on these boards and committees, but I see this as a very high priority for us.
I'm just going to guess that if they'd let everybody know that it were 5-hour meetings, they probably had a little bit lower interest rate. But I don't have any announcements, so I'll take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.